Hey, it's Dan from the Pop Culture Hootenanny Podcast, and I just want to give you a little intro breakdown of what our show is. We're kind of a movie review podcast. We talk about random nonsense that comes up from the backstories, behind-the-scenes stories, and whatever else we want to talk about during our episodes. Here's a few clips to check us out.
Why do we cheer on, and this is a question for what we can discuss right now, why do we cheer on sociopaths in movies where we know that they're doing wrong in almost every single way?
Because we like the hijinks that ensue.
Because it's, yeah, we like the hijinks that ensues, right?
Art and Tony. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're the best written characters. Right? You know what I mean? Like, she's trying to make amends and saying the kids would love to have you over, and I would love to have you over. And then as soon as he gets that okay, he just starts digging into the fact that she changed her name, right? And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. This is the 80s. Changing your name in the 80s is kind of a big fucking statement.
We have so many jaded tropes in our head. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are certain movies that will try to make something look serious. And for a younger generation, it might be their version of, let's say, Arnold calling out the Predator.
1, 2, 3, 4, pop culture, hootenanny, pop culture, hootenanny, pop culture, hootenanny, pop culture, hootenanny.
Hey, do you have a podcast, or maybe you're just thinking about starting a podcast? Well, I am Chris from Podtastic Audio, and here I show you tips and tricks on how to make your audio sound the best it possibly can with the gear you already have. With 2 years of experience on the Chris and Christine Show creating the finest audio I possibly can make, I will show you the tips and tricks I have used on that show to make the audio sound fantastic. So if you have any podcast-related questions to your audio, you always can email me at podtasticaudio@gmail.com like this guy here did. His name is Joe. Joe writes in from the cast. Hey, Chris, when we all sit down together to record our episode, our audio is too low and it has a lot of echo in the recording. How do we make our show sound better? Well, Joe, is the microphone you're using rhyme with the name Betty? And is that microphone in the same room with you? I'd start with that stuff first. And for more Podtastic Audio information, you can go to anchor.fm/podtasticaudio and you keep on making your amazing podcast.
Hi guys, so before we get started, I just wanted to say that I was having problems with the internet connection on this episode, so the sound quality is not that great. I've tried to fix it, but this is kind of just what it is. Yeah, so I'm really sorry about the audio quality on this. I'm working on trying to get it fixed. So yeah, sorry about that.
You're listening to the Manic Pixie Weirdo. I'm Abigail, your host, and this is the podcast where we talk about all the different kinds of relationships that we have in our lives. And this week we have Sabrina Oso from Oso Safe joining us to talk about her company and about home violence, also known as domestic violence. So Sabrina, would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself? You can tell everybody where they can find you and all this stuff.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me, Abigail. I really appreciate the opportunity. As you said, my name is from Oso Safe. Feel safe where you live, work, and play. I am a speaker and consultant on promoting safety and preventing violence in the workplace, schools, and in particular, in your place of residence. I do have a website. It's called ososafe.com. And we primarily combine education and technology to promote safety and prevent violence. And we could talk about that throughout the interview, but that's just a brief introduction of me.
Thank you so much. That was really great. Well, I guess let's just get right into it. Could you tell us a little bit about like how you came up with the idea for Oso Safe, like what brought you to that place, and then, you know, what it is and what you're trying to do?
Yes. I've had years and years of therapy to be comfortable enough to say that I am a victim or a survivor of violence. My father beat my mother on a regular basis. And my mother would beat me in turn because she was in such turmoil. And so it was very volatile, abusive, violent, chaotic, dysfunctional. And I was just trying to survive, you know, and I did what I was supposed to do. I got my degree in computer science and I did the college thing. And then I moved out and I was in therapy from 19 years old up until now, really. So I've been in and out of therapy for quite some time, and that has helped me tremendously. And my therapist said, you should dance. You need to pursue dance. And I am a dancer. I've always had it in my heart, in my bones, in my DNA, but I didn't think about dance at home. There was no one to take me. So I had to put it on the back burner until I moved out. I was a heavy duty clubber. I loved the clubs in the city. It was great. Talk about releasing, just really releasing. Just, I would take the dance floor. I was out all night with friends, and oh, it was so great. I was hopping from one club to the next. And my favorite was the Limelight. And it was such a passion for me. And so I started to take dance classes. I was totally immersed and submerged in the dance world. And I loved it. I was just very free. And I was taking a lot of dance classes from the best teachers that I could get myself into. And then I started to, I was auditioning, I was getting gigs. I started writing my one-woman show, and that show is called Home Sweet Home? And I basically play different women being abused, but then she goes to her good place. That's where the dancing comes in. But then she's pulled back into the terror of violence. But the show ends very strong, very empowering. And I did a lot of research for the show, and I could not believe the statistics, Abigail. I was blown away by this happens a lot. This happens a lot. It didn't just happen to me. It happens a lot. And I said to myself, I need to make this into a bona fide business. I'm not a nonprofit. I'm not a charity. I respect all the charities and nonprofits that deal with domestic violence, home violence, but I feel like we need radical, avant-garde, progressive solutions. Yes. And that's what Oh So Safe is all about. So I turned my one-woman show into a business. That's how Oh So Safe was born, really. I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. Well, we're big advocates for therapy here on the Manic Pixie Weirdo. Huge advocates. I love therapy. I've been in and out of therapy for a really long time, too. I'm also probably not, I fancy myself a dancer, but it's really just like dancing in a shower. But
that's great. That's great. Dancing is good anywhere, anytime, however you dance, it's good.
No, but that's one of the things that I love about dance is that it is a physical form of expression, and it can really be about, you know, the movement. It's not just about like the music and the movement. It is really about like the body and telling a story with the movement and your physical body. And I think that's really, really amazing. And I could feel the passion when you were talking about it, of like just your passion for dancing. And it got me like really excited. And I think that's so amazing that you decided to turn it into something that, you know, is for radical change for these, you know, these people who are going through what would be called, more commonly known as, domestic violence. But you like to refer to it as home violence, which you mentioned that in, you were on a TED Talk, and I really, really like that because it is much more inclusive. And I 100% agree with you. We need radical change. We need progressive radical change in you know, a lot of areas, but this area specifically, because we are failing as a society, these people who are in these horrible situations. And I mean, it's amazing. So what exactly is it that your business does to provide that radical progressive change?
Yes. Thank you for you're seeing it, you know, and I appreciate that. Like you mirrored home violence. I prefer to say that because it's more inclusive and people can identify with that more than, I mean, domestic violence has a lot of stigma to it, you know. So as I mentioned, we're combining education and technology to promote safety and prevent violence. One of our main products is the Oh So Safe Home Sweet Home Package. And we are marketing this to, right now, landlords and tenants, because it's the path of least resistance. We want this to propagate over all residency, but right now we're really focusing on landlords and tenants. We are saying, Mr. and Miss Landlord, hire us. We will get your property Oh So Safe certified. What does that mean? They purchase the Oh So Safe Home Sweet Home Package, and it consists of a policy, a seminar, an app, and therapists. The policy is basically stating, I, as a landlord, I promise to provide you a safe space for you to live. You, in turn, as my tenant, you promise to not act in any way, shape, or form that is abusive. Otherwise, you, the abuser only, gets immediately evicted from the premises. And we go into full knowledge knowing that that would be the consequences. Everybody else in the family gets to stay, provided that they could still pay the rent/mortgage. Then there is a seminar where we go in and we educate everyone. We educate all tenants, both new and existing. Whether you're going through violence or not, it doesn't matter. We go over facts, statistics, warning signs, definitions of abuse, the difference between abuse and discipline, just to name a few items. So that way everybody's educated versus tossing it up to the wind, leaving it up to chance. Then we have an app, and right now that app is being updated, but it's an app that will detect violence. It will detect violent-like movements and captures them in real time, issuing alerts to the landlord. So let's say a landlord has 10 units, and they get an alert saying, wow, in my unit 2 and in my unit 10, I just saw you beat the shit out of her. And I just saw you beat the shit out of your kids. You got to go. You signed the policy. You went through the seminar. We are fostering an atmosphere of nonviolence here. You knew that this was going to happen. So the app eliminates the he said, she said factor. And then we have therapists assigned to the building. So it's a part of your residency. It's a part of your rent. So that, and you are required in an Oh So Safe certified property to check in with your therapist. Is everything okay? Do you feel that something is looming? This is on the preventative side. These are the things that we're doing that is different, because when police show up at a residence, to tell you the truth, Abigail, it's too late. At that point, it's too late. We focus on prevention. So all of these components make up the Home Sweet Home Package, and it will deem your property Oh So Safe certified. I hope I explained.
Oh, yeah. No, that's amazing. That's, wow, that's really fantastic. So from like the perspective, from like your perspective, a survivor of home violence, what are like the things that we can do? Like just the regular, like people who may not have been exposed to this, or you know, maybe don't really understand what, like you said, like the warning signs and like those kinds of things. What can we do to like help prevent those things? And like, how can we help? What can we do?
Yes. If you are, for example, in the workplace and you notice that Sheila, for example, used to wear different types of clothing, maybe, you know, she's into fashion and she likes to, she has a very bodacious chest And all of a sudden now she's hiding herself for changing the way she looks, changing her personality. For example, she used to be outgoing and now she's quiet. She started mentioning that she's going out with someone, or maybe they just got married, and there's she's mentioning that I'm not sleeping very well. Maybe there's drastic weight loss or weight gain. You working with her, ask questions. And this is what we do at Oh So Safe. We encourage, look, there's no time to waste. It is better to ask questions and be proactive than to have that person be murdered. And it happens in the workplace where and then it's too late. You needed to be more, I'm here for you. The best thing that you can do, especially in the workplace, is to listen. You could say, look, I'm here for you. If there's anything that's going on, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to expect you to leave. I'm here for you. I'm not going to say anything unless you want me to. Really reassure the person. And don't just do one and done. Like, try in a couple of days, ask the same questions in a week, in a couple of weeks, a month, until you begin to get some more answers, and say, look, you are in a bad relationship. I know of this company, Oh So Safe. Get them hired into your building. If they are in a single family home, then just keep asking those questions and have them document the abuse. That's very important, to document the abuse any which way that they can, especially as soon as it happens, and to tell them you need to be in a good relationship. You deserve to be in a good relationship. Say that over and over again to someone, especially a student, like someone in school, a teenager. Some of the warning signs, other warning signs are if they're hiding certain body parts, like if they're wearing sunglasses, chances are, yes, the sun is outside, it's hot out, but maybe they're hiding a black eye. If it's hot outside and they're wearing long sleeves, I know it's air conditioned in a lot of companies, but chances are they're hiding bruises or cuts or baseball bat wounds. In children, drastic personality changes are a big warning sign. We can't be quiet. We just can't be silent about it. It's the silence that keeps the violence in place. But in real estate is where it's at, in real estate. That's why we focus in real estate. If we make home safe, then workplaces, schools, universities, public places will become safe. So the focus must be in residency, because if you think about it, Abigail, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. Whether you live in a townhouse, a co-op, a condo, a single family home, a multifamily dwelling, a two family home, a villa, a mansion, a mobile home, home is where it's at. So that's why we focus in the home. You could say to if you suspect someone that is abusive and they're a parent, you could say things like, look, just because you are a parent, it doesn't give you the right to abuse your kid. That's very important. Too many parents think that, well, that's my kid, like as if they're property. And they're not property. They're a human being. Mm-hmm. So I hope I answer the question, Abigail.
Yeah, no, you're doing great. You're doing absolutely fantastic. I did want to touch on something that you talked about in your TED talk. Sure. And that was the statistics. And then I thought it was really powerful when you were like, the statistics are actually a lie, because we don't really know what they are. They're probably much greater. And I think you said it was like 75% of those statistics were just they don't get reported. And so that's why those statistics are a lie. I don't even know what that would be in men who are being abused. And abuse can show up in many forms, guys, just so you know. It doesn't have to be physical. It can be emotional. It can be mental. It can be spiritual. And I believe that all of those are, you know, those are all big ways that you can abuse somebody. And, you know, especially if you are being abused emotionally or physically or emotionally or mentally or even spiritually, those don't show up as bruises. And so they might be harder to detect, but they are just as important as physical violence against a person or a child. And so could you just kind of run through like why people don't, just for those that don't really understand, like why people don't report them and why it's a much bigger issue than even we realize, because, you know, the statistics are not accurate.
Yes. Yes. I'm glad you brought that up. It is, I was alarmed, you know, at the statistics. And just to name a few, one out of three women will be beaten or raped in a lifetime. One out of three young people will be in an abusive relationship. One out of seven men is abused. 15 million children witness violence in their own homes each and every year. About 324,000 pregnant women go into the emergency room, not for pregnant related issues, but for abuse related injuries. I could go on and on with statistics, and it is very scary to report it. It is scary to say anything, because we at Oh So Safe, whenever we do our seminars, workshops, speaking engagements, we go over 50 reasons why victims don't leave. Why, you know, because people will say, leave, just leave him or leave her. What's the matter with you? Man up. Or why don't you just leave him? It's not that easy. Everything from money to religion to your abuser is the breadwinner. The kids are established at a school. Maybe you're gay and your abuser is going to out you as a gay person and that will hurt you. Maybe you're handicapped. Maybe you're an immigrant. Maybe you don't speak English. Maybe it's not the right time. Maybe you blame yourself. Your religious affiliation blames you. You're isolated from your family, from your friends. There's so many reasons. So this is why at Oh So Safe, we're saying, don't you leave. You stay right where you are. Don't take your ass out of that apartment, out of that wherever you live. It's the abuser that has to go, not the other way around. So that way the responsibility of safety is removed from the victim's hands and into the hands of really residency all around. It becomes a required standard condition of residency. It's very scary to disclose it, to admit it, to, and this is why we do all of this education before, so like as a part of your residency, so that way it makes it easier to report it, because then you feel like, wow, I'm not alone. I just had a seminar. This building is Oh So Safe certified. They're fostering an environment of safety here. It's a totally different mind frame. And we feel that this is where residency needs to move. So also I want to mention, Abigail, that like you said, there abuse comes in so many forms. We like to group it in three major forms: verbal, physical, sexual. And somebody does not have to touch you in order to be abusive. If you're being told that you're a bitch, a slut, a whore, a tramp, a sleaze, a floozy, a bimbo, a thot, a skank every day, all day long, they didn't touch you, but you're being abused. And it breaks you. It breaks you inside. So, And I want to mention a big driver of violence is pornography. Oh. And I'm not talking about sexual freedom. Pornography is the opposite of sexual freedom. I'm not talking about erotica. If you want to turn your house into a jungle and you want to go to town with your partner and dress up as monkeys and take your clothes off and have mind-blowing orgasms. So that's great. Awesome. But we're talking about pornography is 88.2% physical aggression towards women. And a lot of people don't know that.
I did not know that.
And yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, like I said, it has nothing to do with sexual freedom. It's the opposite of sexual freedom, actually. And there's another branch of pornography that has come to my attention, and I'm trying to make people aware. This is where the woman is doing the abusing. She's a financial dominatrix, and she's actually a paid sex abuser. And these women are dangerous. They're dangerous, they're manipulative, and they infiltrate in our societies and pose as good, upstanding citizens, but they do revolting, convulsing, disturbing things on and off camera, and they prey on weak men, and these men could have children, and they rope them into their residency, and before you know it, and she's very good at manipulating, dominating, and very good at verbal abuse, because that's what she does on and off camera. And to her, a guy with a child, it's like more, she gets off on that because she's the more people she could dominate, the better she gets off on it. So it's something that I'm trying to get people to become aware, because they're not in some Playboy mansion far away. They're not in some faraway land. They're among us. So thank you for letting me say that. But and I'm gonna be more vocal about it. But you know, as you said, males can be victims. It's horrible either way. Whoever is the victim, male or female, it's horrible either way, especially for children. I was one of those kids. I can tell you it's traumatic.
Oh, it affects, I would assume, every facet of your life. And not only does it affect every facet of your life, but I would imagine it takes a very long time before you get to a place where, I don't think that okay is the right word, but where you get to a place where you feel like safe enough to be able to be vulnerable about it. I don't think that it is ever going to be okay, like the things that happened to the child or like to you when you were a child. I do think that the hope is that you can get to a place where you can at least feel safe enough to be vulnerable about it.
Good point. Yes. I'm glad you said that, because, you know, when you grow up in that environment, it really fucks you up in the sense that it's hard to trust the good. It's hard to invite good. When good people come into your life, when good things happen, you go through this mind game like, no, I don't deserve it. You don't trust it. There's got to be something wrong with this. It really messes you up. And so therapy helps you with that, to say, just a second, this is a good guy, or this is a good girl. Let them in your life. You deserve that. It's almost like you have to retrain yourself over and over again, and to be okay with good things happening to you, because that's how you were supposed to be since you were born, really. So I'm glad you brought that up, and it really it's almost as if you have to really switch your brain consciously, and it's a constant practice. We teach at Also Safe, look, this is a practice, how to be safe, how to promote safety, how not to be violent, not to be abusive, especially when you come from abuse. It's easy to fall into that trap and repeat the cycle. Your job as a a former victim or as a survivor is to not repeat the same mistakes as mom and dad. That is your number one job. In a relationship, in friendships, with yourself, with the kids that you raise, that is first and foremost. It is very, very important, and it's a work in progress. And I have trouble with the word peace. Like, it's so far away from me, the word peace. I've been meditating and I've been teaching people with Oso Safe how to meditate, and it's been helping. I never thought of myself as a person who can meditate, and it's not like I go into Buddha mode or anything, but you can meditate in your own way and it's still effective, and I can get to stillness. Like, peace is still some, like you said, it's almost like it's kind of far away, but stillness I can get to, you know. So I'm glad you brought that up, because it's not just snap, you're okay, you did a couple of sessions in therapy, and it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. It takes time to heal. And it's okay. Let that be okay. You know, I hope I answered the question, Abigail. Sometimes I go off on a tangent.
No, that's the whole point of this podcast, is to just talk and see kind of where everything goes. I agree with you though. I have a lot of like trauma in my life, and that sort of thing, and like PTSD and stuff like that. And peace is a very far away thing. For me, I get to a place where I can at least feel like I'm calm enough to like be still. But even doing that for long periods of time is my anxiety will get the better of me. And then I have to like, you know, do stuff, but I'm working on that. That's it's a work in progress. it's also okay for
you
it to
and
be.
Me both, sister, you and me both.
It's also exactly, okay. Exactly, it is okay.
Yes. And
Go ahead. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, No, that's okay. I'm sorry. I want to say I'm sorry that you went through trauma. And whenever I get whenever people disclose that to me, I like to say that, because so many of us, our pain, our trauma, our terror is not acknowledged. It's not honored. It's not heard. It's usually dismissed, undermined, belittled, ignored. So I just want to tell you that. And and I feel like we have a lot of connection, you know, and to go through trauma and just violence, abuse in any format, it's too much to have in common with somebody, you know. Unfortunately, it's a common thread for too many of us, you know. So that's why we say it Oso Safe. You have the right to be safe in your own home, and we're going to see to it that that becomes a required standard condition of residency, period, over and out. There's enough problems out there. We don't need violence, abuse, chaos, dysfunction. We don't. There's plenty of problems out there. You know, heartache, there's losing your job. There's maybe a natural calamity. Maybe you live close to a volcano and the lava is shooting off. Those are problems that we should be dealing with, not violence, abuse, chaos, dysfunction.
Oh yeah, there's too many other things that we need to be worried about that cannot be, you know. This is a problem that I don't know how easily it's solved, but it does seem like we are getting to a place where there are at least choices and like things that can be done, like with your company, that we can do to, because I do think that the preventative is like the first line of defense. Like, we've got to, you know, we have to lay down the wall. And I really do like the fact that you focus on the preventative as well as like what are these definitions? Like, let's go through it. Let's explain what these are so that everybody is very clear and on the same page so that you, so that way nobody can be like, well, I didn't know that this was considered abuse. No. We're not doing that.
Right. And it's a part of your residency. It's just like you learn how to use a fire extinguisher. Well, now you're going to learn how not to be abusive, because that's how it should be. And we're not saying you're never going to fight or like be in conflict with your significant other. Of course, you're going to have disagreements, arguments, conflict, but it should never cross the line of abuse, not verbally, not physically, not sexually. So that's what we're saying. There's a big difference, you know, and I've been saying to parents, look, to abusive parents, either on my posts or whenever I meet them, non-abusive parents act very differently than what you're doing. What you're doing is abuse. And we need, and we at Oso Safe, we make that very clear. And we say, look, what you're doing is abuse. What these people are doing is not abuse. And there's understanding, there's patience, there's love, there's respect. That's what, those are the ingredients of a good family, of what every family should have. And abusive parents need to understand that. They need to know that. Otherwise, as far as we're concerned at Oso Safe, you're not going to live anywhere. You need to be homeless. I'm sorry to say, but what is the point of you living somewhere, abusing your kids, abusing your significant other, so the way those kids can carry on that abusive, victimized existence? No, I'm sorry, but no. What's the point? What is the point? You either change your ways, or you're not going to live anywhere. So that's what we're shooting for at Oso Safe. And I'm a real estate agent also. So we're talking to people in the real estate industry to make this worthwhile financially for a landlord to say, look, if you get your property Oso Safe certified, your property will be worth more and your insurance rates will go down. So that way there's more incentive there. And they should be rewarded because they're actually taking steps to get their tenants safe beyond as the asbestos and the heat, hot water, electricity, central air. It's all about safety, being nonviolent.
Yes, I completely agree. Would you mind running through just like, I don't know, maybe like three things, like three key differences between like an abusive parent and what a non-abusive, because I think that there's a lot of confusion for some people. And I don't know if confusion is the correct word, but I'm just going to put the benefit of the doubt out there and say it's confusion about the difference between like discipline and abuse. So could you just run through like a couple of things, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Abuse instills fear and discipline instills education. So that's the biggest difference between abuse and discipline. Abuse instills fear and discipline instills education. So an abusive parent will say, yes, I'm disciplining my kid. I'm not being abusive, but your kid is scared shitless of you. They don't feel free in your home. And we're not talking about free to slam doors or throw things. We're talking about free to express themselves, children, I'm talking about, in a home. With abusive parents, they will not allow their kids to do what they like to do. They will force things on their child. For example, if the child wants to dance, they will try to shove Girl Scouts down the child's throat, you're not going to do anything. Your grades are very bad. You're not going to do anything. So they cut off things that will help a child and will that the child enjoys. So that is a big, like a big difference versus abusive parents and non-abusive parents. An abusive parent will, for example, a lot of fighting between the husband and the wife, or the mother and the father, whether they're divorced or not is irrelevant. They will fight. They will verbally disparage the child. You're a brat. You're a monster. You're a prissy little bitch. You're ungrateful. Stop acting like a baby, over and over and over again, to the point where the kid is in the corner crying. That's abuse. That is abuse. Inappropriate chores, where parents will give inappropriate chores to a child. For example, if the kid is like 5, 6 years old, and they're making the child do vacuuming, thing, cleaning bathrooms, that's the abusive parent will say, no, I'm teaching responsibility to my child. Yeah, if the child was 12, 13, 15 years old, but not at 5, 6 years old. If I see this, abusive parents, if they're divorced, some of the parents will require the child to drive to the parent, and the parent lives an hour, 2 hours away. Yeah, yep. And meanwhile, the child is in the car feeling nauseous, backaches, headaches, and the parent will say, no, you got to come to me. And I have to say, Abigail, these courts do not make it easier. It's horrific what the courts do. And this is why I believe the statistics are what they are, and why people don't report as much, because the courts, they make a horrible situations even worse, from the lawyers to the judges. And when I say lawyers, not all of them, obviously, there are good lawyers out there. There are good cops out there. But I have to say, in these situations where the children suffer the most, they don't do what's in the best interest of the child. They do what is in the worst interest of the child, which is why those statistics are what they are. Sex abuse is another big thing. There are fathers raping their daughters out there in the middle of the night, after school. I believe the statistic is that 1 out of 8 children, if I'm not mistaken, 1 out of 8 or 1 out of 10 children will be sexually abused by the time they are 18 years old. And 90% of them know who their perpetrator is, and 60% of them will say nothing. They will say nothing. So that 90% means that it's someone within the family. Usually it's either, and it could go male or female. I have to say, for the most part, it is a male. For example, a boyfriend of the mother, a father, a stepfather, an uncle. Like I said, in the porn industry, it could be a paid sex abuser, a financial dominatrix. They know what they're doing. They're masters at preying on the child. And so that's another, what a non-abusive family will do. And non-abusive parents will educate their child. There's good books out there that you can get for your child, and you can read with your child about body safety. Like, if anybody touches you on your bathing suit parts, you gotta tell me right away. That's not okay. And maybe some days you don't want to hug Uncle so and so or Aunt so and so. That's gonna be okay. Instead of, a lot of abusive parents will force their kid to give a kiss to Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so or Grandpa or Grandma, and the kid doesn't want to, but the abusive parent will force that on the child, then it's wrong. It's wrong. It's kind of bordering on, you're kind of teaching your child that they don't have control over their bodies, and they need to be taught that they do have control over their bodies, even as young as 2 years old. So abusive parents, they are against empowering, encouraging, being positive with their children. It's all about dominating, manipulative tactics, control, possession, constant like attacking. Whereas non-abusive parents, they give their kids space. You know, like if the kid needs 10 minutes, 15 minutes, instead of yelling at them and demanding answers, it's better to say, okay, little Sally or little Timmy, I'm going to give you your space. If you need 15 minutes, I'm going to be right by the door. I'm here for you. Maybe you had a bad day. I'm here for you. I'll listen to you. Things like that is what non-abusive families do. But an abusive parent will say, you got to tell me right now. I want to know right now. Very demanding. It's very different. I hope I gave some good, I probably gave more than three examples, but these are all big differences. And we teach this at Oh So Safe. You know, we teach this that it's actually healing for both the parent and the child. If you're patient and you give each other space. And we're not saying that a child is not going to have a tantrum. They're not going to slam a door once in a while. That's going to happen. But to pound it out of them and attack them, it's the wrong approach. And if you ask deeper questions, like say, did somebody bully you at school? Did somebody touch you? You can tell me, I'm not going to get mad at you. Did you get a bad grade and you're afraid to tell me? Like, throw some scenarios, but very gently, you know, very gently. And you'll see how much that kid will talk, you know. And if you just listen, that kid will talk. Your child will talk. So these are some of the tactics that abusive parents will not do versus non-abusive parents will do on a regular basis. This is a practice, Abigail. It's a practice, constant.
Right. Right. It doesn't count if it's like, you know, once a year kind of a thing. But this is continuous, like every day, every, you know, several times a week, even, you know, like very, very continuous, where you can very blatantly see this is not, you know, we all make mistakes. We're just human. And so we're all going to have a slip at one point or another, but it's when it becomes continuous and over the course and the progression of time, and then you compound it with everything else. That's when it, for me at least, becomes abuse. And I don't know if I would, does that definition kind of correspond with what your abusive, like identifying abusive things, is that in the training, does that like correlate? Am I getting some of it wrong? Okay.
Yes. In fact, the definition of abuse is a pattern of forceful behavior. So it is a pattern. It's repetitive. It's consistently manipulative, controlling, possessive, forceful. You do what I say. You have to do as I say, whether it be spouse to spouse, parent to child, partner to partner. Yes, absolutely. However, all it takes is one episode of violence to make it abusive. For example, if somebody pulls your hair once, the first time, that's abuse. Nobody should be pulling your hair. Nobody should be pulling anybody's hair at any time, period, over and out. So victims will rationalize that and say, oh, he's just having a bad day, or I shouldn't have thrown out the garbage after 7 o'clock like he or she wants me to. It's abuse. That happened once, it's abuse. And the next time, it's going to be worse. It'll be pulling hair and then pushing you. And then the pulling hair and the pushing you will turn into a kick. And then the pushing hair, the pushing and the kick will turn into a punch. So I just want to make that clear. It's yes, we make mistakes as parents, as partners, significant others, whatever your sexual orientation is, it's irrelevant. Whoever you're in a relationship with, you're gonna fuck up. Definitely. It's definitely, like you said, we're human, so we're going to mess up. However, it should never cross the line of abuse. You know,
And it should never be physical.
Whore,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. There's no such thing as, I only raped you once.
Right. So kind of get over it. Like, no, that's not
right.
That doesn't.
Right. Right.
Or, right. Or the idea that you're fine. Or the idea that a spouse cannot sexually assault or sexually harass their spouse or their significant other. Like, it doesn't, like, that is, I know that we are it is a very recent development in this country, at least, that we legitimized it and we said that it was an actual thing that happens. Guys, it is a very real thing that can happen to anybody. And so just because you're married or you're dating or whatever, that doesn't make it any less serious. And it doesn't mean that it is any more valid than anybody else's. So just so everybody knows that it is a thing.
Excellent point. Yeah, it's marital rape. There is such a thing as marital rape, date rape. Yes. And it could happen. I've heard, and I respect veterans. I respect veterans, but it'll happen in military, some military. The soldier comes back, the veteran comes back, and it happens. I mean, it could happen in various types of marriages. You don't have to be a veteran, obviously, but I'm saying that because, people think, someone in uniform, it'll never happen. They're saints, they're honorable. No, it happens. Just like a cop, there are good cops, but there are abusive cops. Mm-hmm. There's, where there are cops that abuse their wives. And in fact, those wives have nowhere to go to. I know of one shelter that was the case, and they had to put the woman in hotels, undisclosed hotels, so that way her cop husband wouldn't find her, because he knew all the shelters. He knew all of the housing for the shelters. They had to put her in undisclosed, hidden, or hotels. It's ridiculous. The magnitude of this problem, it existed pre-COVID. It accelerated during COVID, and it will remain post-COVID.
Yeah, so, it's constant. It will. Yeah. This isn't something that's going to just disappear. In fact, I would probably, at this point, I'm sort of wondering, that was a fear of mine that I had for when we all went into lockdown, was what is going to happen if somebody is in a horrifically abusive relationship and now they're stuck, literally stuck inside.
Right.
And I would be very interested to know what those numbers are. Obviously, they're going to be much slower than what is reported. But that, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, what happens? What do you do if, you are in an abusive relationship or an abusive household, a child? Right. What what do you do? Right. And I think that's where your company comes in. You know, that's where your company comes in and says, we don't really care that there's a pandemic going on, because you have to go. What you're doing is just not okay. This is the line in the sand. You crossed it. And now you're out. Right. So.
Right. Yes. I think there was a statistic when we were in the heart of the pandemic, that the home violence hotline calls, domestic violence hotline calls, they were up something like 86%. And this is on a global level, I believe, because this was, you know, it hit the whole world on a global level. So everybody was homebound, whether you were in China, in Thailand, in Brazil, in Italy, in Spain, Portugal, the US, Argentina. So everybody, all those shelters and the 800 numbers, they spiked tremendously. I want to say, though, we are hopeful at Oh So Safe. We are positive. We empower. We are encouraging. I feel like we're definitely doing everything that we can to move residency in this direction, kind of bridging Oh So Safe with the real estate industry to say, look, we need to make this a required standard condition of residency. You're not going to get a mortgage unless you're Oh So Safe certified. You're not going to take up any rental property unless you're Oh So Safe certified. Even if you're a multi-millionaire, billionaire, you're going to buy this property cash. Well, you got to get Oh So Safe certified. You're not going to beat the shit out of anybody. You're not going to sexually assault anyone in your household. I mean, we're not barbarians, for crying out loud. We're not beasts. We're human. Act like it. You know, I mean, this is like, to me, to my company, it's simple. Don't beat anybody up. Don't call anybody a slut in your household. Don't sexually assault anyone. You would think, Abigail, it's simple. It's basic, for crying out loud. You know?
Think. I mean, we teach our children, and when they're, you know, in kindergarten, don't call people names, don't hit each other. Right. And it's like, well, but then how can you like try and instill those values in a child when this is going on at home? Or this is going on. I mean, and like, we're all adults here. Okay. We're adults. So if we can teach our children, don't call people names, don't hit anybody, stop pulling, you know, that person's hair, like, or, you know, don't get into like, people have physical space, you know, give them their physical space.
Right.
We're adults. I'm with you. We need to act like it. Like, we need to, you know, act like adults and not like children. You know,
right. Yes. And that's a great point. We're saying to schools and universities, hire us when you have your PTA, you know, those PTA meetings where the parents are there with the staff and the teachers to say, look, have us come in and we will talk to all the parents about the Oh So Safe certifications, because that's when you have the parents and the teachers and the staff all together. And like you said, the students are learning one thing at home, like don't bully, don't curse, don't be kind to each other. But then at home, it's hell. Well, how come at school I'm not supposed to punch anybody and I don't, but at home I see my daddy punch my mommy or my mommy punching my daddy or I'm getting punched? It's like a mismatch of what we're teaching our kids. And that has to, we're the only company that bridges, makes the link between schools, the workplace, and home. Let's focus on the home. That way your school will be safe. Workplaces will be safe. It all goes back to that home.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh my gosh. This is the more I learn about your company, the more I'm just like, yes, I'm all for it. Like, this, because it's something. It's something. And people might have issues with it. People might have, you know, like there's, you know, whatever. It's like, okay, well, what are the better ideas? Because this is something that is actually, you know, working. This is, you're doing something, you're physically doing something and trying to make an impact and do the radical progressive change. And it's like nothing else has worked, you guys. So we've got to do something. And this is the best idea we've got. So I would love to hear the other ideas, but I have yet to hear them. So
thank you, Abigail. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I know, and I'm sure you could relate to this because you told me you've been through trauma. If I had something like this for my own childhood, my reality as a child would have been much different on in a improved level. My father would not have gotten away with half the things he got away with. So I tried to create something where, what did I need as a kid? Like, what did I need? What would have made a difference? So I brainstormed myself and came, you know, it took a lot of work, and I, you know, and I always consult with a small team of lawyers, and they know what I'm doing. And they're like, wow, Sabrina, you're short circuiting the whole process. Like, what do you need lawyers for, and mediators and parent coordinators and child protective service agencies and judges that are incompetent? I hate to say it, ignorant and unqualified to make these rulings on a child's abused child's life. What do you need that for? We took care of it in residency. Boom.
Yeah.
Done. It's done.
No, I love that.
As far as I'm concerned, it's, you know, and that's what the small team of lawyers that I consult with, they said, you're short circuiting the whole thing. Yeah. And yes, I do have my, challenges, definitely. But I feel like people will want nothing less as time goes on. I think this will really catch on, one residence at a time. We really feel strongly that this is the direction that real estate needs to go.
Well, you're setting a standard. You're setting an industry standard, and I can fully get behind that standard. I think that I'm a little bit upset that it wasn't like implemented, and like this hasn't been happening just the whole time. It's like, why hasn't this been going on the whole time? So I really appreciate that and what you're doing. So thank you for that and your contribution. It's really, really amazing, and it's going to make a difference. You're going to make a huge difference. You really are.
Thank you, Abigail. Thank you so much. I really appreciate, thank you for your support and for your positive feedback. I really appreciate it.
I just needed to let you know that, because I do think that, until somebody comes up with a better plan, I mean, I got nothing. And this is, I mean, because you're setting a standard across the board for works, for schools, for homes. And those are really, like you said, the big three places that we need this to happen. And I just don't see anybody else doing anything about it. So thank you so much for coming on and talking with me about this. I will absolutely have to have you back so we can go a little bit more in detail and in depth about this. I had so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on. If you want to go ahead and tell everybody once again where they can find you your company, so that we can get this, you know, ball rolling farther down the street, you know.
Thank you. Thank you, Abigail. Yes. My website is ososafe.com. My direct email is sabrina@ososafe.com. I'm on all the major social media platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. My TEDx talk is broadcast, and anyone interested in booking us for speaking engagements, seminars, workshops, the Home Sweet Home package, the certification that we talked about, that's all on my website. So I thank you again, Abigail. This was so great.
Thank you so much. Thank you again, Sabrina, for coming on the show. I just wanted to follow up by saying I hope you guys enjoyed it. I had fun. She will be coming back to talk about more things.
So keep a lookout for that. Again, I'm really sorry about the audio quality. I did my best. I hope it was all right. You can email me at manicpixieweirdo@protonmail.com if you have a topic or you want me to talk a little bit more about something else, or really just anything. You can email manicpixieweirdo@protonmail.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @mpweirdopodcast and @main_weirdo1 for Instagram. And if you want to continue to support this this podcast, then please like, rate, and review us on iTunes. It really helps the podcast. Thanks. As always, be kind and stay weird. Bye, guys.
Hi, I'm Dietrich.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Ben.
We're from the podcast That Song From That Movie, the journey through the very best and worst of movie songs.
We want you to join us on our voyage across the cinematic sound waves as we take a deep dive on a new song and movie each week to figure out just what makes them tick.
Already we've set sail with Celine Dion on the Titanic, found a friend in Toy Story, and gotten drenched out in the rain with Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Hopefully each breakdown allows us to answer the ultimate question of what's better, the movie or the song. Or at least learn something new along the way.
Just like learning that Toy Story 4 is a meaningless cash grab without a soul.
You can subscribe right now on all good podcast platforms. If you use one of the bad ones, then that's on you, and we can't be held responsible.
Subscribe to That Song From That Movie.
Hi, I'm Sophie, and I haven't seen a lot of movies.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm here to help with that.
And we are SP Film Viewers.
Each week, we take a deep dive into films that Sophie is seeing for the first time, some of which are deemed classics, some of which are my favourites, and some are just to try and get a reaction from her.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we have a lot of fun talking about what we've watched.
And we hope you have fun listening to our light-hearted thoughts and ramblings on this cinematic journey.
So tune in every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts from.